Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Bruce Arians was talking about Blaine Gabbert to Tampa Bay Times. Jake, you want to hear what he had to say?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a quote now. People may not like the overall record, but Blaine had 8 head coaches and 8 coordinators in his first 8 years. And Arians not wrong about that. We've seen a lot of guys move. That really does affect a guy's play. Yes, that's true. He beat Jacksonville their best year and beat Tennessee their big year for us in Arizona. He's been in the system now. I don't have a problem there. And let Kyle continue to grow. Either one, meaning either Kyle Trask or Blaine Gabbert, either one, says Bruce Arians. Gabbert has never played with a team this good. He's got all the respect in the locker room he can have. Since joining Tampa Bay, Blaine Gabbert has been limited to mop-up duty, of course, behind Tom Brady. The most he played was in a 47-7 win at Detroit in 2020. He went 9-15 for 142 yards and 2 touchdowns with no interceptions. That's a nice little outing. Here is something from Chris Mortensen, of course. Bruce Arians professed his belief in Blaine Gabbert is no surprise. Well, all right. I think that there's a sense that, let me continue that. Especially with the Bucs roster. Now, here's your hypothetical to ponder. The Bucs take a shot at Deshaun Watson and believe Gabbert can keep them competitive if Watson has to serve any suspension. Key, when Mort, is kind of speculating, it's not like me speculating. He talks to a lot of people. So I look at that and think, is that what they're thinking?
It could be in hypothetical terms. Maybe there's through passing somebody said, I really wish that situation with Deshaun Watson was clear. And then you just follow it and listen to it and form your own intelligent opinion based on hypothetical, and I think that's what Mark is certainly doing right there, which makes all the sense in the world. But here's what I'm going to say, man. I don't give a damn how great Bruce Arians think he is as a coach. You can't fix that. Blaine Gabbert is a lifetime backup in the National Football League, man. He's a backup for a reason. He was selected as the first round out of Missouri, but he not like that. He's just not. As Stephen A. would say, lies, 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 lies. He lying. He don't even believe his own lies.
Lies, lies, and more lies.
Blaine Gabbert, come on, man, stop.
But CK, this is sheerly from the fan perspective. I don't know Bruce Arians. I make my assessments based upon what I read, what I hear from players from time to time. But it was almost like just a tie of things together. I don't really believe things that come out of Bruce Arians' mouth anyway, right? It's like when he was like, oh, yeah, Tom would definitely be back. And he's like, well, I'm not sure Tom would be back. So, like, just hearing him waffle on that. And then, like, when there's something that's so obvious, like when you're like, oh, yeah, we're good with what we have, Blaine, I'm like, what? Like, I know that there's something like called building up your players and making them believe in you. But
what if Bruce Arians believes in himself to that degree? Like, because, first of all, we've seen it.
You got to be foolish then, Max. I hate
that's
to
what
cut
I'm
you
saying.
Off, but you got to be foolish.
You don't even need to say that publicly, though, Max. Like, why say anything?
Well, normally when a GM or a coach with juice or an owner of a team comes out and says that, it's because they have something in mind they're working on the side. That's why, like, I brought this up yesterday. Bubba Crosby was like a AAA-type center fielder for the Yankees. He had a little, he was like a little backup. He got a cup of coffee in the majors. And I remember going into one season, Brian Cashman, the GM's like, hey, we're good if we start with – if he's our starting center fielder, which is a joke, right? And, I mean, like, of course not. Sure enough, they went out and signed Johnny Damon, right? There's sometimes when they don't want to play themselves in the market, they don't want to, put themselves at a disadvantage in a negotiation, they pretend one thing when they're really going to do another. They can't be serious about Blaine Gabbert as a starting quarterback. I don't see how that could be. And by the way, even if it worked and Bruce Arians was right, guys, let's say Blaine Gabbert, but let's just say.
I'm like, wait, Bruce Arians is arrogant enough, though, Max, to say when he was asked if he could win with another quarterback besides Jameis Winston, he said, another quarterback? Oh, yeah, if we can win with this one, we can definitely win with another one, too. We're going to have this defense. He's arrogant. He thinks he can win with anyone except for Jameis Winston.
But hold on, though. Hold on, Evan. Repeat what you just said that he said.
Another quarterback? Oh, yeah. If we can win with this one, we can definitely win with another one, too.
I would say the same damn thing if I knew I was getting Tom Brady at the time.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. You're working on something.
No, hold on. Max, hold on. Max just said something there. Say it, Max.
You're working on something.
Exactly. Jason Light worked with Tom Brady in New England. You don't think Tom Brady knew before he left New England he was going to Tampa. If you think anything other than that, you stupid too, Evan.
But here's the thing. Now we don't need to start calling each other names.
Oh, no. Evan knows what I'm saying.
Here's the thing about it, though. Even if Arians is right, and it, to this extent, Key, whatever his delusions of grandeur are, let's say he's right in the sense that he looks at Gabbert and says, this is a reclamation project that can work, right? Like Ryan Tannehill. My point is, Ryan Tannehill's like a best-case scenario for that dude. He's not good enough. They need a better quarterback. That's why you speculated, Key, hey, maybe Tennessee could grab Aaron Rodgers. That'd put him over the top. Even if he's right about Gabbert, and he turns out to be the next Tannehill, they're going to need more than that, Jay. Jay, they're going to need more.
JK, you got that lost for words.
I got nothing to say on this, man. I honestly, I'm not checked out of a lot of conversation this one. Like, I told y'all how I feel about Bruce Arians to a degree.
And on top of that, remember, Tannehill started as a backup. He didn't even start as – he didn't even come in to the season that year as a starter. Mm. He took over – for Marcus Mariota and started to play well enough and got him into the playoffs, and they said, well, okay, we can run with it. Blaine Gabbert did not take over for Tom Brady. If Bruce Arians, as Evan said, is arrogant enough to think that he can fix something and win with something that nobody was able to win with, including himself, again in Arizona when he was in Arizona as the backup.
Key, can I just tell you something? I kind of believe he is. I hear what you guys are saying on misdirection and Jason Light and everything, and they're working on something, but there is a part of me that truly and firmly believes that this is something that BA would say and mean it.
You know, there's 17-game season now.
No, don't change the subject.
No, I'm not.
Do you see it? Is it out of probability that this is something that – do any of you guys rule it out that Bruce Arians potentially actually believes what he just said?
Yeah, but no, he don't believe it.
I'm trying to give you an example of what he might mean, though. Like, let's say, Jay, in a 17-game season, he goes out with Blaine Gabbert and wins 9 games, and they're competitive for the playoffs throughout the season, whether or not they just miss out on a wild card, but they win 9 games with Blaine Gabbert. I think Bruce Arians would look at that, as many would, as like, that's kind of a win. You didn't even go out and get another quarterback, and you were able to be a winning team, right? Wouldn't you get some credit for that? What are the standards?
You guys talk about misdirection, and they're working on something. Like, why would you even say it like that?
Well, because Mort speculated about Deshaun. That's why.
Yeah, but you still don't need to get back into Blaine and make it that way. Like, it still sounds slightly.
But if you're working on something
you know how you, Jay. If anything, you know how somebody would throw something one way and make you go left, and they go right.
That's misdirection. All misdirection.
It's a little play action fake on you. You're going to follow that and go, oh, they're going to go with Blaine Gabbert. Meanwhile, they over there trying to untangle the Derek Carr situation in Las Vegas.
But why do you need to say anything about that, though, Key? Like, you just move in silence. Like, why try to give misdirection for something that regardless?
Because the question was asked if – I'm sure the question was asked if he can win with Blaine Gabbert. And he gave them the kudos. That's what you do as a
play
coach.
Action depends on how well you sell it, right?
So yeah, he get ready to stick the ball in the belly and pull it out, and the defender going to bite, and he going to throw it right over your head. The moment that you think one thing, Jay, is going another
Jay,
direction.
I got you, too.
I'm just saying, if that don't work out, he's stuck with Blaine Gabbert.
Jay, I got you.
And I'm like, all right, make it work. You said it.
Jay, I got you.
You said it.
I got you. The reason it's such good misdirection, the reason he's got you right now, is because of Bruce Arians, because you it's believable to you. No, I think Bruce Arians, the type of dude who really does think it would work with Blaine Gabbert. It makes it easier for him to sell. He's using that because it's easier for him to sell it
to you. That's a valid statement. That's about just,
man, y'all just, gonna look up. Y'all gonna look up, and he gonna have like Russell Wilson starting at quarterback or something.
Yeah. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's get a Super Bowl champion in here. Wade Phillips with us. Good morning, Coach.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Coach.
What up, Wade?
Good. Hey, Key.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Well, that's good, man. It's real good.
Yeah, we won the Super Bowl, and we're going to Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Your son is heading down to Minnesota. How did you feel seeing him win the Super Bowl? Now he gets a big, giant promotion and headed to Minnesota.
Yeah, it was exciting for us and the family and, you know, obviously glad for everybody with the Rams and Wes being a part of that. So, and I mean, everybody knows how, or I think everybody knows how hard it is to win the Super Bowl. So it's pretty exciting for our family.
You know, the thing that I looked at in this whole Minnesota Rams situation is very similar to what Sean McVay did with you when he brought you in as a former head coach, defensive coordinator, and he's doing the same thing in Minnesota with Ed Donatell. How do you think that thing's going to work out?
Well, I hope it works out well. They've got a good offensive coordinator. I know that, so I think Wes will do well there, and they've got some good players on offense. So their defense wasn't very good, so I think Ed will help with that.
What type of aspirations does your son have to follow in your footsteps as a head coach in the future?
Well, I mean, this is part of the process. I mean, if you get to be an offensive coordinator and do well, obviously you have a chance to be a head coach, so. You know, there aren't very many of them. There aren't very many opportunities. And then even when you get them, they're hard to keep. So, you know, it's pretty neat that he's a coordinator like myself and my dad. And hopefully he'll be a head coach like both of us. So it's a great family, kind of family tradition.
Coach Phillips, you were on the Rams staff. Sean McVay's first defensive coordinator with the Rams for 3 seasons. What did you see in him that has resulted in 2 Super Bowl appearances and 1 Super Bowl victory in 5 seasons as a head coach?
Well, right when I went in, I knew that he was special. He's got great communication skills and football knowledge. And, of course, his offense is really taken the league over. I mean, people have copied what he's done throughout the league, and we see that every week. So, he was a special guy that we went to the Super Bowl quickly. Now we didn't score but 3 points in that game, but he's had a top offense since he's been there. So, you know, I think that's the key is you got to have a great offense too. I mean, people say defenses win championships, but offenses seem to be the ones that are on top right now.
Wade Phillips with us, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. Coach, I know this puts you in a little bit of an awkward position because it makes you talk about yourself in a flattering way, right? But I do think it was really important when you were brought in with a super young head coach. You need an older coach with gravitas who has respect around the league, who's experienced, who knows what he's doing. And that seemed to many to be the right move, and it turned out to be the right move. Can you explain how that dynamic works when you have a young, hotshot coach and you know, the kind of staff you bring in, especially someone like yourself who is so experienced?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like you say, I don't see it as me. Certainly, I see it as Sean being the one. I do think any offensive coach needs to bring in a defensive coach that can help them. The team hadn't won, so when we got there, and it certainly takes an offense and a defense. So, you know, I helped the defensive part, but it's you know, Sean's gone on to win a Super Bowl since then. So it's really not me. It's him.
Coach, rumors are out there circulating. I'm not saying that I believe this, but I have to ask you. This is my journalistic integrity. Would you think it's feasible that Sean McVay could step away from the game of football to get in the booth and start calling games and being a broadcaster?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that. I'd speculate like everybody else. I mean, I know he loves football, and obviously, he's, you know, I'd want to come back and see if I could win it again if I were him. But you know, which hadn't been done so in a long, long time. So I'd be surprised if he left. But you know, that's his decision, certainly.
Wade Phillips, former NFL head coach, Super Bowl 50 champion as the defensive coordinator for a stingy Denver Broncos defense, is joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Coach, having experienced what you did as a Cowboys head coach and being there with Jerry Jones and having been let go by Jerry Jones, and at the time Jason Garrett was on your staff and he was promoted from offensive coordinator to the head coach and was there several years. And now Mike McCarthy kind of is in the same predicament that you were once in with Dan Quinn as a defensive coordinator and Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator on the staff. And then on top of that, Sean Payton hovering around the Texas area and may get back into coaching in 2023. How do you view that when you are a coach coaching a team, but you got three guys kind of mentioning, not them mentioning, but being mentioned as your potential replacement? How do you coach through that?
Well, coaching, that's part of coaching, especially in the NFL. You know, the NFL, not for long, you know, and two kinds of coaches, ones that have been fired and ones that are going to be fired. So, you know, that's just the way of life in the NFL and coaching is. So there's always speculation, no matter where you are, no matter how successful you are. You know, if you don't have a great season, you know, you're in trouble wherever you are. So that hadn't changed for a long time. Mm.
It hasn't, but it does feel like after so long, where year in and year out, it feels like we look at the Cowboys in particular and say, wow, that roster's loaded. This is the year. They're always saying, this is the year. Only one team can win the Super Bowl. But it does seem like, even in spite of good records, once the Cowboys get to the playoffs, it has been difficult to get wins in the playoffs. And people look at the constant, and the constant there is Jerry Jones, and think, well, maybe the ego is getting in the way of them winning in the playoffs. Can you speak to that at all?
Oh, I mean, Jerry treated me well when I was there. He paid me for every day I worked, and I worked every day, you know, for him. So, and an owner has the right, you know, Jerry Jones let a coach go when he won the Super Bowl. So it's not unusual there to see a coach, you know, being fired with the Cowboys. So, you know, it's throughout the league, you know, it's not just him. So, you know, it's part of what you live with when you coach anywhere, but mostly in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. That's Wade Phillips. Ladies and gentlemen, his son Wes is the new offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings with new head coach Kevin O'Connell. Appreciate it, Coach. Thanks for jumping on with us this morning.
Thanks a lot, Coach.
You bet.
Thanks,
always,
Coach.
Always good. Hate to leave California, but
hey,
don't we?
But
you
I know
can
Wes,
come back.
Wes will do well.
You can come on back.
Don't
we got
we
plenty
all.
Of room.
That warm weather will still be there waiting for you, Coach.
Well, it's warm down here in Houston, so I'm all right. Thanks.
That's it. It's like when Key talks about in his career. I didn't want to go here, but I would go there. I noticed wherever it was cold, he didn't want to go. They had a good team, but I don't know. There was something about it I didn't
he
like.
Could have played with Brett Favre? Nah.
What about the team in Florida or Texas or Southern California? Yeah, yeah. For some reason, I like those teams.
Well, you'll be a damn fool, Max, to want to freeze.
I'm not criticizing you, brother. I'm just describing reality.
You'll be like, they can go play in the North Pole. No, I'm good. They're going to give you $1 billion. Nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
They'll give you $100,000 to go to Florida. Okay.
Okay.
See, I'll go wherever the dough is. That's, they'll go to the moon to pay me enough. Tune in to the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. The Nets start their push for the NBA title, or the World Championship.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
No, it's great. Obviously, it'd be great for us to have Kyrie available for all our games. Having said that, you know, it's not really in our control stuff.
So. Brother's a showstopper. He's a superstar.
Everything always hinges on Kyrie.
They used to say of Tony Bennett, he has the best pipes in the business, right? Sinatra was super, super hot. Bennett has the best pipes in the business. Well, we're joined right now in Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max by the Tony Bennett of the sports broadcasting industry. Best pipes in the
compliment.
Business.
What a compliment.
Listen to this, Nick Friedel. It's unbelievable.
So much
ESPN
pressure
Nets reporter.
Hello.
Just say hello.
Say hello.
You'll stay,
please.
Everyone
please
will see come. What I mean.
Hello, everybody.
Oh! That's like a Jim Nance type voice. That is
hello, friends.
Hello, friends.
Nick Friedel giving you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Here is Steve Nash at the Nets at the Nets presser, head coach of the Nets, of course, by the way, Hall of Fame point guard, two-time MVP Steve Nash, on how the vaccine mandate changes will affect Kyrie, if there are, in fact, the changes that Mayor Eric Adams says is coming.
No, it's great. Obviously, it'd be great for us to have Kyrie available for all our games. Having said that, you know, it's not really in our control, so we leave it up to the mayor and wait patiently. He's working towards being able to play in every game. So if the mandate is lifted, the expectation would be that he can play in all our games. I think that's what he's been waiting for and what he's excited about. And if the opportunity arises, you know, the plan and the goal is for him to play every night.
If Kyrie is able to come back, what position does that put the Nets in moving forward?
If he can come back and play, Jay, they believe they can win the title. It's that cut and dry. When you talk to their players and their coaches, this is a group that says, forget what happened for the first two-thirds of this year. You get Kyrie back. You get Ben Simmons in the fold. KD's coming back here in the next couple games. You add Goran Dragic, and you have a strong veteran core behind them. Their confidence is such that I've never seen a team at this point of the year with this kind of record that believes, hey, we're going to turn it on. Kevin's coming back. He'll lead us, and we'll get there.
So a lot of people are speculating if he's going to play on March 10th. It's when they play their game against the Philadelphia 76ers. Danny Green, 76ers power forward, he's really a small forward, let's be honest. Inside the Green Room with Danny Green podcast, said this, and I want you to react to it.
Interesting dynamic,
yes,
of how things went down. Interesting dynamic of who went with him. I don't know. I haven't got a chance to talk to those guys yet, but I know they weren't on the most of cordial terms when he was in Philly with Drum and Seth. So I wonder how that relationship is now. I got a chance to talk to them. Now, will we shake hands to start? Probably not. First, I'd be highly surprised if he even plays in that game. I don't know where his health is mentally, physically, and I don't. We all know that he does not like to play in Philly. But say that does happen, I see it as being a very hectic playoff-like atmosphere environment to where it may be very rough for him.
So, Nick, is there any word on what Ben Simmons' relationship is with the Nets team, specifically when Danny is referring to Seth Curry and Andre Drummond?
The interesting part of how the whole Simmons deal went down, Jay, is the Nets have gone out of their way to say repeatedly, we are going to make him feel comfortable. And they're going to do that by having Patty Mills, who he's known for years and years because of their ties to Australia basketball, and having Kyrie really say to everybody else, we got him. If we want the best out of Ben Simmons, we need to make sure that he feels comfortable in and out of the locker room. So while his relationship with Drummond and Seth may have some fixing to do, given what happened in Philly, the Nets aren't worried about that because the Nets are saying, we have two veteran guys who are well-respected in that room who are going to go out of their way to do anything they can to make Ben Simmons feel like he is a whole part of this team.
I'd even put that together, Nick. Like, you know, Kyrie's dad played in Australia professionally. Exactly. Patty Mills from Australia. I'd even put that together.
Patty Mills said the other day, Jay, that he has known Ben Simmons since they were in primary school, which is the Australian equivalent of elementary school. Wow. So when you add those two, plus KD saying, hey, we're here to win. We believe in you. We know that you have a next level that you can hit. The Nets are completely confident that the issues that surrounded the departure, especially in those last couple of years in Philly, won't be the same issues in Brooklyn.
So, Nick, when you look at it, and he's scheduled to get back on the court, I believe, what is it, the 8th of March, will he play on the 10th in Philadelphia, or will he bow out, he being Ben Simmons?
Keith, it remains to be seen, and this is what I would tell you, even being around the last couple of days and seeing the way they've got him working out. The Nets said flatly he didn't go through practice yesterday the same way Kevin did as he's rehabbing, and we're able to watch the last 15 minutes or so when we go into the gym. You go and look on the far basket, and there's Ben Simmons working with, of all people, Kyle Korver, who has become kind of a roving assistant for the organization over the last year, and a guy that Sean Marks and his staff trust completely to help a lot of the younger players with their own shot. So whether or not he plays in Philly remains to be seen. But I think the key to remember here is they're going to let Ben Simmons come to them and say, I feel comfortable. I feel ready to go out there. And when you have a guy like Korver who has hit some big shots in his career and knows the mechanics of what needs to happen in a jump shot, when you see him breaking it all the way down and you're allowing for the idea that you've got plenty of time, not only this year, but in the years to come, you're not going to let Ben Simmons go out there unless he feels comfortable about what he can do. So I know there's a lot of focus on that Philly game, but the Nets are playing the long game here, and they believe that they can get Simmons to a better place mentally before he even hits the floor.
So yesterday, Nick, talking to Nick Friedell right here, Nets reporter, ESPN Radio, Keyshawn J. Will and Max, I mentioned on this very program that later on in the day, I was going to reveal my top five finals MVP candidates, right? And I thought it was going to be a big, sexy, hot take. Everyone would be like, what? At number five, I had Ja Morant. Because I think there's a chance Memphis can actually make the finals. Jay gets up, walks across the hall to get up, and his bold prediction, he stole my thunder. Because not only did he say, yeah, they have a shot, he said he's all in. They're going to make the NBA finals. It's a reflection of how good, young, deep, talented that team is and how good Ja Morant is. Is Jay, you might say, but is Jay off his rocker to say those guys are going to the finals?
And Nick, before you answer that, that is the world's best teaser, because we're going to go to break. And when we come back for our next segment, you are going to be that person to answer my craziness. Oh.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America.
two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
No, it's great. Obviously, it'd be great for us to have Kyrie available for all our games. Having said that, you know, it's not really in our control. So,
brother's a showstopper. He's a superstar.
Everything always hinges on Kyrie.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, and still with us, you will be hearing the dulcet tones of Nick Friedell. Nick, when will we see? I know we teased whether Jay is crazy about Memphis.
I'm not.
I thought it was my hot take, but now he's.
I stole it.
But first, when are we going to see KD return?
It's not tonight against the Celtics. It's probably not against Milwaukee on Saturday. I think it'll be early next week, Max. And having watched Kevin over the years, if he's going through practice and he's getting all those reps in, it's only a matter of time. He looked pretty good in the brief scenes that we saw yesterday, but I would expect him at the latest early next week.
Okay. Now back to my crazy take.
Yeah, so Memphis, I say there's a chance. Jay says it's a lock. Are either or both of us crazy?
Well, we got Dumb and Dumber going on here. Like, you're saying there's a chance.
Or smarter.
Having watched Memphis, their time is coming. There is no team that has given the Warriors, and that's where I started the year, more problems than a tough Memphis team. Having said that, Jay, I still think it's a year too early.
They said about the Bengals and Joe Burrow.
I don't think it's crazy. I do not think it's crazy. Okay. Ja is that good and getting better, that young core, and I think this part is crucial. There's no fear.
So
when you watch them, they play like a team that knows how good they are and knows how good they can still become.
Nick, that's the only thing that makes me think that it's really possible, right? Number one, people don't recognize this battle that they have with the Golden State Warriors. They didn't allow them to get into the playoffs last year. Now, I know that adds ammunition, but all these dudes feel like they rise to the level of their competition. They don't play down to the level. And CP3 being out with that hand injury, 68 weeks, I think the Suns can still sustain, but they lose a lot with that. So I feel like there's a chance. Real question, though. Who's dumber here? Which one?
Come on. I'm bold and he's bolder.
Now I need qualification.
Who's Harry?
Yes.
Who's Lloyd?
Tell me. I need answers,
Nick. Does it really matter?
It does to me, Key. All right, don't answer that. Key, next question.
Yeah, Key, what you got?
I think both of them.
Hey, it's different when you say it.
You know, when you look at a team out west, for instance, and you got the Suns missing Chris Paul a little bit here for the next, 6 to 8 weeks or something like that. So he's going to miss a significant amount of time. And then you got Golden State. Is Phoenix going to, by missing Chris Paul, are they going to miss out on something special?
I don't think so, because as of now, he's not going to miss any postseason time. If you told me that he was going to be missing into the playoffs, Key, that's one thing. But the Suns are so good and they are so deep that I think they can find a way for this next month and a half. The bigger issue to me isn't even so much Chris Paul and the Suns. It's Draymond and the Warriors. If Draymond does not come back at that same level, because the reports are good, Draymond's rehab is going well, they expect him back at some point here in the next few weeks. But if he's not playing like the defensive player of the year that he was early in the season before he got hurt, the Warriors can't do it. So as much focus as there is on Paul and the Suns, the much larger issue to me in the context of the Western Conference playoffs is what kind of Draymond comes back when he does return. If he doesn't play like that same guy, I don't see any path for the Warriors to get all the way through the West.
Mm. Nick, speaking of rehab, what is your take on the Zion Williamson situation? Obviously, J.J. Redick, who played with him in New Orleans, kind of called him out for not communicating with C.J. McCollum. We then found out later on that day that he had been in communication with C.J., but I mean, reports around the organization saying that he has not been around practice or shoot-around since the beginning of December.
Jay, it's just sad. When I think of the Zion situation and I see the way it's going, as a basketball fan, having watched him at Duke and seeing the level he hit there, I feel bad for him. And I give you a quick story to that. It was early in the year. We were in San Francisco. The Pelicans were going through a shoot-around. And it was about a week or two after that first video of Zion working out came out. And the Pelicans were so concerned, and there might have been three or four writers standing on the floor just waiting to talk to a couple people as they got on the bus. The Pelicans were so worried that we were going to take video, that somebody was going to shoot another video, that Zion was sitting in the stands, and they had three or four different staffers kind of circle around him so that nobody could see him walk out. And on top of the fact that he's dealing with the injury that he's dealing with right now, he just looked so uncomfortable. He looked so big. And you hope for his sake that he can lose the weight, get back out there on the floor. But I think all the scrutiny is very clearly weighing on him. And as somebody who enjoyed watching him play and hopes that they can see him hit that next stretch of his career, to see that scene play out and then to not having seen him back on an NBA court this year is just really sad.
You know, Nick, sometimes when you see top-tier athletes, right? Like, I was leaving a game one time, and OBJ and I were in the same elevator, and he was walking out. His legs just slightly bow-legged, right? Like, mm-hmm. Keyshawn's legs slightly bow-legged. Like, mine, Max, not so much. But I'm just saying,
I am slightly bow-legged. It goes against the theory.
But when you look at Zion's, it's like he's even more so than pigeon toes. Like, it's like almost inverted to a degree. And with that size and that weight he has up top with that different gait below, I feel like that's so concerning. I mean, would you concur on that?
No question. And you watched him walk, Jay, when everything was good, when he wasn't carrying that extra weight up top. So you just worry even more that extra weight, when you are jumping up and down and you're putting that kind of stress on your knees, how long can that hold? So I think it is imperative, not just for his future, but for the here and now, that he has got to drop that weight. And if he doesn't, I don't see how New Orleans or any other team, there's so much focus on, where's Zion going to end up? Any other team that gets him has got to make sure that he's feeling good. If not, they're not going to see anywhere close to his best.
Speaking of Zion in New Orleans, why does it seem like every player that's a top-tier guy never stays in New Orleans? Everybody gets out of there.
The short answer key to me is, in all the years that I've covered games down there and talked to people in the organization, there's just not a lot of support. There is not a lot of support for that team. And it's sad because we all know how great New Orleans can be, how much fun it is, but I just don't feel like guys want to go there and stay there long term because you are so far off the NBA radar, on top of the fact that you just don't have the local support that you have in so many other markets.
Nick Friedel with us, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Nick, so you're covering the Nets, and you see the formation of, on paper, the best big three ever put together, right? Three unstoppable offensive forces in every facet of offensive play at an unprecedented level ever. But it didn't work out. I mean, injury and personality and vaccine mandates and whatever else, it just didn't work out. Now they got Ben Simmons in there. How would you, who can do things that James Harden can't do, but James Harden is a better player at the moment, how would you report or gauge the excitement level is around the Nets now compared to when they originally put the big three together. This is some kind of a three, if not a giant three. It's probably a big three.
Max, I wasn't there in the beginning when Harden got there, but I can tell you, even in the last couple weeks, this is a team that has had almost a rebirth. They feel like, as great as James still can be at times, hey, we're all on the same page now. And we believe that this team can do it still this season. And I think the idea that now everybody knows that Kevin is on the way, it's only a matter of time, it feels like, before Kyrie can play in home games. There is that sense of all these people have written us off, and they've almost forgotten how great KD is. You get everybody back playing at a high level, we'll show you. And we know what kind of motivation that can be for proud pro athletes that have won at the highest levels.
Yeah, KD gets healthy. To me, Jay, Nick, Key, I like the Nets. I mean, you know, if KD and Kyrie are on
like
the floor,
I
like the Nets.
How about that?
I like the Lakers in the play-in tournament.
Yeah, exactly. I'd say this, Max. I truly think a lot of people have forgotten how good Kevin is when he's right.
He's the best player in the
healthy,
world.
He's incredible. He gets back at that level.
Yeah, LeBron James, the best player in the world. What are you talking about?
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max. That's Nick Friedel, ladies and gentlemen. We're back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.